to play in accordance to our families and in the church and in society as a whole. That's not something that our society is open to, okay? And so we as a church, though, we have to understand that we do not allow society to dictate our roles in life. If we allow society to dictate what we do or don't do and how we live or don't live, if we allow society, even popular opinion, to provide for us the authority to which we are submitted, we're headed in the wrong direction. And so tonight, we're gonna pick up kind of where we left off. And I just kind of want to do a rehash of where we left off last week. Last week, we discussed the element of marital strife via the curse. Genesis 3:16, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. We talked about how that one of the elements of this curse is a woman's sinful inclination to usurp the authority of a man. That is a part of the curse. Now, before men get all excited, you have a part of that curse as well. Also, men having a sinful inclination to subdue women or woman by chauvinistic means. So both of those elements of the curse cause in a marital relationship strife. Because a woman has the inclination to usurp the authority of the man, and the man has the inclination to subdue the woman by chauvinistic means. And so both of these things, both of these elements of the curse that came as a result of sin, that came as a result of man and woman reversing the role and not operating in their God-given design, we now, to this day, and in a part of a marriage relationship, there is strife. There is that contention. There is that sometimes competition as to who would be the authority and who would lead. Now, the Bible makes it pretty plain that this is as a result. This is not God's design. God's design, if you remember last week, was that man and woman would live together in complementary roles. A symbiotic, perfect relationship and perfect harmony working together to fulfill the will of God. But because sin entered into the picture, now we have this. And both of these are elements of the curse and are not God's divine design. And then this is where we ended last week. It is Satan's desire to blur the lines of distinction in God's divine design. Now, we're gonna touch on this here in a little bit. But when it comes to what even we're seeing on a societal level, what we're witnessing in the general public, in the sense of a growing disdain for authority, in the sense of not feeling subject to laws and powers to be, and feeling like we are a god unto ourselves and that we can choose the best path for ourselves, understand this all falls outside of God's design. And so tonight, we're going to talk about two wonderful words that we all love to discuss and we all love to hear. And it is something that, man, we are just so anxious for Pastor to teach on these two words. Authority and submission. Authority and submission. Let's start from this basis. Let's ask the question. Do we believe all the Bible is the authoritative, inerrant Word of God? Do we? Do we believe that the Bible is the authority? And that it is without error? And that if we do believe that, if we would say yes to that question, then we must decide if we will be submitted to its authority. Right? Why is there a pretty much a general disdain for following the Word of God or the Bible according to its principles and precepts in today's age? It goes against the flesh. It requires that ugly word, submission. But if we truly believe that it is authoritative, that it is the Word of God, and that it is the ultimate authority, then the question, it begs the question for each and every one of us. Will we then submit? That ugly word, that word that is hard, it's difficult because our flesh is not inclined to submit. Our inclination is rebellion. Our inclination is not to say the Word of God is the authority and I must live my life in submission to it. But if that's the case, and that's what we truly believe, and we hold the Word of God as being without error and applicable to us today as it was to them when it was written, then we have to answer that question. And that's not it. I know we say, yeah, we easily nod our head at that. But it's a lot easier to nod your head at it than it is to live it. It's a lot easier to give consent to say, yes, that's what we need, or yes, that's true. But it's a whole other story to actually live that in our daily lives. Because submission ain't easy. Submission is difficult. And for you and I to recognize that there is an authority, that there is something that you and I should be subject to, then that subjection or that submission that must be in our lives has to find its role. Hello. We have to find what is our role. To what are we submitted? What does the Bible outline as being God's design for my submission? Where does my consent come to play? Where does my acquiescence to the authority of the Word of God find? Where does the rubber meet the road? Where does it find its fruition in my life? How do I look at the Word of God and from the Word of God understand the roles and the distinctions that God has for me in the role that I am to play? Because let's face it, society doesn't want to do that. Society doesn't even want, think about it, society doesn't even want the government defining roles for them. So let's go a little further. Whoa. While authority and submission seem to be profane words in our society today, these words are at the very core of the divine design of our Creator. Think about it. What in today's world, those words, authority and submission, that we, you know, they're not all that palatable. They're hard to swallow. These traits, if you will, are at the very core of God's design for us. Authority and submission are absolutely essential. Any institution, system, and or structure designed without respect to authority and submission is destined for collapse. Think about this in just a physical sense. If we decided today that we were going to go build a bridge, and we were going to construct this bridge any way that we wanted to, without respect as to what should support and what should be able to be at the top and what should be able to be at the bottom. And we just decided we were just going to throw things together and make a bridge. How safe would that bridge be? And we can understand that. That's the reason why there's plans for building. That's the reason why there's what they call engineering, because it develops and it shows authority and submission, even in the sense of physical attributes. We know that. We see it even in the animal kingdom. We understand that creation as a whole is created with respect to authority and submission. So whether on a divine or a human scale, submission and authority are indispensable elements in God's order and design. Even in creation, we understand, even in physical attributes, even in the laws of physics, we understand that authority and submission are absolutely essential. They're indispensable. You cannot, nothing will stand, no institution, no system will stand without authority and submission. Authority and submission characterize not only all creation, but reveal the divine design of its creator as well. It shows, authority and submission reveal God and the way in which he works. Remember when we went back a few weeks ago and we talked about when he created them, the Bible said he, in the image of God, made he them. Male and female made he them. In other words, they, in their complementary roles, in those attributes of authority and submission, are the very image of Almighty God. It's no wonder that Satan desires to blur those lines. It's no wonder that Satan would want us not to study a subject like this. Because God does have, God is the authority, and he does have a divine design according to his word. And if we study, we can show ourselves approved or disapproved in how we are constructing our lives, in the roles that we are playing. Can I look into that perfect law of liberty? Can I look into the word of God and see my role and say, whoa, there's changes that need to be made? So let's talk about some general submission roles. The Apostle Paul was one, and we're gonna get on his teachings a little bit later in the study. Probably won't have time to get into them tonight. But the Apostle Paul is a man who is very misunderstood. And a lot of his teachings concerning authority and submission. Somebody from a secular sense looking at the Word of God, specifically looking at many of the writings of Paul, would, without much hesitation, call him a chauvinist. It would. In today's mind, in today's ideology, looking at what the Apostle Paul wrote in reference to roles and in reference to God's design for the man and for the woman, they would say, that's not up to the times. They would say that the Apostle Paul was writing from a chauvinistic standpoint, was putting his own ideas and opinions into the Word of God. Well, then that begs the question, do we believe that it is the Word of God or not? I'm bringing you back to the beginning. Do we believe that what the Apostle Paul wrote in reference to the church, in reference to you and I, as male and female, man and woman, do we believe that that the Apostle Paul wrote, do we believe that it is the Word of God? Well, if we do, then there's lessons to be learned. Then there's divine design to be understood in relation to our roles. Go a little further. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In a general submission role, we are encouraged, according to the Apostle Paul, writing the church at Ephesus, we are encouraged to submit ourselves one to another. If you look up that Greek word, I think it's pronounced hupostasso, it talks about being in subjection or in rank, in authority. In other words, we are in subjection one to another with respect to authority and submission. We submit ourselves one to another. That's why he went on to say, look not every man on his own needs, but look on the needs of others. We submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. We subject ourselves one to another in the fear of God. 1 Peter 2:13 and 14. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Here, we are encouraged, according to God's design, to be in subjection to those who are in authority over us. That's why when a law enforcement officer tells me to put my hands up, I put my hands up. Why? Because I am in subjection to the authority. We're going to get into this a little bit. But these general roles of submission that have to deal with our society, understand. I saw a picture today, and I think it was, I'm trying to remember, it was an article dealing with society's general disrespect for authority nowadays. And it showed a picture of a young woman up in the face of a police officer, and she was obviously invading his space. Close as to almost be intimate, but there was nothing intimate about it in that sense. And the officer has his head, because if he put his head down, his chin would be in her mouth. That was the picture. And this young woman was screaming in the face of the police officer. I don't know all the details surrounding it. I don't know who captured the image or what was happening when that was going on. But what I did think when I saw the picture is, man, that is a pretty good representation of our society today. No respect for authority. I was raised that when the teacher told me to do something at school, I did it. I did it. Why? Because I was in subjection. She had authority. When I was there, or he had authority. When I was there in that classroom, and that was their classroom, and they told me to do something, I did it. I've learned, and society as a whole, we're losing that. We're losing that respect for authority. I mentioned this before. It's been a post that circled around Facebook. It says, my parents spanked me as a child. As a result, I suffer from respecting others. It's authority and submission. And in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So let me ask you this. Are there exceptions? In relation to these general rules of submission, are there exceptions? Give me an example. Okay, give me a biblical example. Okay, good example. What about Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We will not bow. What about Daniel? Though it was the authority of the king, what did he do? He prayed. Got thrown into the lion's den. Anybody else? Yes. The apostles were specifically called up before the chief magistrates and elders and said, did we not command you to teach no more in this doctrine? But yet you've gone about through the whole city spreading this. And what was the response? Anybody remember the response of Peter and John? Yes, it's better that we obey God and not man. So when would an exception to the general rules of submission come into play? Whenever those that are in authority over me are not in a subjection to the authority of God. So if the government required me to do something that would be in opposition to a higher authority, guess what? Ain't gonna happen. Because there is a higher authority. Because I am in subjection to that hierarchy, and there is a higher authority above the government. But as long as a government is not requiring me to do something that is in defiance to the authority of the Word of God or a higher authority, guess what? I am to subject myself. I am to do things like pay my taxes. It's a great subject this time of year. Thought I'd bring it up. I am to be in subjection. And when it comes to leaders, when it comes to, and here's the thing, do not think for one moment that, that type of mentality that is in society is not finding its way into the church, because it is. Because preachers can get up and preach and teach and try to admonish and try to encourage people, and some people say, well, yeah, whatever. I'm just going to do my own thing. The Bible tells us, if he's in the Word of God, if that individual is in subjection to a higher authority in his life, then guess what? We are duty-bound according to the Word of God, according to his divine design to be in subjection. This is huge. Submitted does not mean inferior. The leader is not inherently superior to the one being led, but submission and authority are necessary for proper function. Let me bring it home. Just because I am pastor does not make me a superior Christian to you. It does not make me inherently better than you. Does it? But what it does do is it puts me in a position of authority. I know you say, well, you got the mic, so it's easy to say that. But here's the beautiful thing you need to understand from that. Being subjected or being submitted to me does not mean that you are inferior to me. Is there a role? Yes. Is there distinction in that role? Yes. Are there people under pastors who probably have a greater prayer life than pastor? Probably. Oh, well, let's just take the mask off it and let's just realize it for what it is. It doesn't make that leadership role does not make how. I got to ask a loaded question here. But how many companies have bosses that their subjects or their employees aren't inferior to them at all? Maybe they're even more skilled than their boss. Maybe they have more ability than their boss does. Yeah, that's me, Pastor. Called it. I can amen that one. But guess what? There's still authority and there's still submission that must take place. Even though he or she's a knucklehead, doesn't negate their role of authority. Do you have a comment, Brother Kelly? That's right. Perfect example. And if you heard what he said, when he was in the military, you didn't have to respect the man, but you certainly had to respect his rank. And that man who had a higher rank than you could have been an immoral, could have been in many ways less of a man than you. But because of his authority and because of his role or his rank, well, you submitted or you suffered the consequences, right? And it's no different. And here's the thing. Even in the church atmosphere, guess what? Leaders are going to make mistakes. We're not perfect people. We're not always going to handle everything right. We're not always going to do what we should do. But if we're living our lives and we're attempting to be in subjection to our higher authority, catch it? There is that umbrella of accountability. There is that hierarchy of authority. which you should not see as oppressing, and you should not see it as something that's keeping you down. You should see it as God's gift to you in the role and relationship that He has set up. Got a lot of amens on that one. We talked about general roles, but the Bible gives some pretty specific roles. The Bible talks about the authority. It uses the term the head. That essentially means the place of authority, the head. And it talks about the authority of God and the authority of Christ and the authority of man and the authority of the woman. And it gives defined and distinct roles, specific roles of authority. Now, please understand, when I talk about the distinct roles and the authority of God as opposed to the authority of Christ, this does not, I'm not preaching dualism. I am understanding that Christ as a man was in subjection to the Spirit of Almighty God. Guess what? You and I would not have salvation had He not operated correctly in His role. Had He not been in complete subjection, had He not submitted His will, how do we know that there's a distinction? Well, you don't have to go any further than the Garden of Gethsemane when He prayed the prayer, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." It showed, it revealed a submission. Jesus Christ, the man, was in complete submission to the Almighty Spirit of God. And as a result, all of creation benefits. Think about it. Think about the specific role that the man Christ Jesus played. And He played it to perfection. He was tempted in all points, like as are we, yet without sin. Played it to absolute perfection. You know how He did it? Submission. When He was tempted in the wilderness, guess what? Guess what Satan was trying to do? He was trying to get the man Christ Jesus to step out of his role. He was trying to get him. He was tempting him. He tempted Christ in the wilderness. He couldn't tempt God. God cannot be tempted with evil. But the man Christ Jesus was tempted. His will was tempted. And what the enemy was trying to do was get the second Adam to make the same mistake that the first Adam did. Catch it. He wanted him to step outside of his role. He wanted him to do something that was not in subjection to the authority of Almighty God. What was Jesus' response? Anybody remember? It is written. Guess what authority Jesus went back to? He placed himself. He showed his submission and his subjection to the authority of God through his word. As it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What are you saying, Jesus? I'm saying that I am in complete subjection to the word of God. I know my role. I know what his design for me is. I'm the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. I recognize that Adam was made in the image of him which was to come. I recognize my role is to stay in my God-designed role. The authority of man in subjection to
Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul says, men, love your wives and give yourselves for them as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Because make no mistake, men, there's a big submission part we play. We have to be submitted to Christ. That's my role, to be submitted to Jesus Christ. It's my role, it's my responsibility, it's my God divine design to be in subjection and submitted to Christ. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's my role. It's my God-given role. My authority rests completely under the authority of Christ. My authority rests under Him. And so I must be in submission to Him. As a man, I am to be submitted to Christ. Make no mistake. I am to be submitted to His Word. I am to find my role and operate therein. And when I don't, guess what? It affects everything else down the line. Because the man is the head of the woman. Read it. It's there in the Word of God. We're going to look at it. We don't have time to go into it, but we're going to look at it. The man is the head of the woman. There is that hierarchy. There is that, if you will, I don't want to say pyramid, but there's that hierarchy of authority. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things are of God. What is he saying there? What does he mean in verse 12? What he's talking about is that man then comes from the woman in the sense of a child, a man-child. And that man as a child is in subjection to the woman who is in complementary roles with the husband, leading the family and parenting the children. That's why he said in Timothy, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. The children come from the woman and are in subjection to the parents. Apostle Paul, he's very clear. The distinction in the roles is very clear. He doesn't leave it. It's not up for your interpretation. I'm sorry. It's not up for your feelings and how you feel about it. It's what the Word of God says. And if I believe the Word of God is without error, then I must decide if I'm going to be subjected to it. I have to decide whether I am going to acquiesce my own feelings, my own desires, my own wants, and I'm going to say God's way the right way. Submission means that my mission is sub. It's beneath. It's below. And as a man, my mission has to be below the mission of Christ. And a woman's mission has to be below the mission of the man who is under the mission of Christ. It's there. This is how it works. God, Christ, man, woman, children. Oh, I know our secular society would have issue with this. You will not see this graphic in our institutions of higher learning, I guarantee you. Our society doesn't want this kind of distinction. Because roles require submission. Think about it. So if I can say there is no true role, there is no God-designed role for a man or a woman, then there's really no part you must play. You play whatever part you want to play. Therefore, there is no authority. And you really don't have to be in submission to anything. And that is the ideology of the world. That is where they're headed. This is what we're seeing even now, and it's being played out on all the news media outlets. We're seeing it all over.
God, just a few minutes. Here's where we're going to go next week.
The most popular passage in all the Bible.
Some of y'all are smiling because you know I'm being somewhat sarcastic. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul is giving us God's divine design.
We're going to read down through it. Then next week, we're going to get into it. Next week, we're going to look at these divine, these specific roles that God has placed for us to decide whether or not we're going to be submitted to.
But I'd have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. If a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. If it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. I'm sorry, and I hate to break it to you, but there's some inequality there. Man, it got really tight in here. The Bible specifically says, read it, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And man, society would scream, what? No way, Jose. Uh-uh. But it's there. It's there. Now, you understand. In context, you understand he's writing the church of Corinth. And if you do a little study of Corinth in 2nd century AD, you will find there's even some secular writings that show how strong, and we'll touch on this, how strong the feminist movement was within the Corinthian society. So much so that secular writers, Juvenal, you can read it, in his satires written in 2nd century AD, he himself said that the Corinthian women would shave their head and enter into hunts with men bare-chested. It's not what I said. It's what he said. He said it a little more colorful than I did. And the Apostle Paul is addressing this mentality that has crept into the church. And he is addressing it on the basis of God's divine design for authority and submission. And when you read Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, it is a chapter concerning submission. That's why everybody loves it so much. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Why did he say that? Because the angels understand authority and submission. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also of the woman, but all things God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame to him, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. If any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. We're going to get into this next week, so I'm sure you're all just going to be dying to get back. Why don't you stand? There is a divine design. It's in the Word of God. It's not my opinion.
It's what the Word of God says. And if I believe that the Word of God is without error, then I have to decide whether or not I'm going to be subjected to it. Well, Jesus, we love you. I'm so thankful, God, that we have your Word, which helps us understand, God, those distinct roles, God, that we should play in our lives, God. And Lord, help us, God, Lord, to recognize you as the ultimate authority in your Word, God, to be without error, God. You know, we may not understand everything, God, and Lord, you ask us to trust you in your divine design, God, in the way that you have it set up, God, that we should subject and submit ourselves unto you, God. And in doing so, we resist the devil, God. We resist his attempts to blur the line. We resist his attempts, God, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. God, we thank you that we have your Word that leads and guides us. We ask that you would help us, God, follow your will and your way. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Everybody said amen. Don't go anywhere, we got something special to do. Musicians, if you can make your way back. Did she already go down with? All right, good. So Peyton will be coming up here in a moment. Our young people should be coming down and kids should be coming up. And I'm going to make my way back into the baptismal area. And if you want to come up and be around the front, that's certainly all right.